It's the first time for everything, Steeler fans. What's up? It's EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Number to call in, 855-212-4227. We ran the gambit on a bunch of football stuff. We've talked about the potential that the Commanders are back in on the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. That, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is Perloff's national crisis. That man gets so upset about anything mentioning Brandon Ayuk. It's so funny. I kind of get it, but I mean, I don't know why he gets so mad about it. I know Perloff always feels like we just overhyped and overrated. And Brandon Ayuk, the impact of this story. And as we enter, or we kind of are invested in the dog days of sports summer, this has been the story that has just dominated much of the conversation. But I'm telling you, I think the Commanders should go all in on Brandon Ayuk if they have an opportunity. I think they, it's not a thing of, you know, let's see if we could swing something. Let's try. Let's give a call. They got to get this thing done. Get it done. Just lost a receiver. Maybe he wasn't good, but he was a body. And you got a rookie quarterback who loves this guy, who you want to make sure his early years in the NFL go smoothly, and you support him as much as you can. Getting him a 1,300-yard receiver is a great way to help ease him into the NFL, especially a guy he's already played with. You got to get it done. So we talked about that. We also talked about Anthony Richardson's performance last night in preseason. Kind of to maybe my surprise, like the Colts, you know, played all their starters in a good quarter and a half of that game. Anthony Richardson got, I think, 5 drives in that game. And it was a good, the bad, and the ugly. It was first drive, smooth, quick decisions, accurate, looked great. Second drive, pick 6. And look, there may have been some, the receiver may have ran the wrong route. Maybe he read it wrong. I really know what happened, but either way, not good to have a pick 6 deep in your own territory. And it's just a walking touchdown, not what you want to see. So that wasn't good. He also had a strip sack. He was inaccurate pretty much from then on. It wasn't a great performance from Anthony Richardson, but I don't think it's about the win losses for the Colts this year. I think it's about continuing to see this young guy develop. And you hope by the second half of the season, he starts to maybe look kind of like how Jordan Love looked last year, where first half, rough. Second half, you start to see that talent come through. Now that he's getting the game reps. So, as I've said, number to call in, 855-212-4227. As I always say, EJ's ducking no smokes. You want to get on the show, you want to get in on those topics, call in 855-212-4227. You could also tweet me, EJ_Stewart, on Twitter/X, where Gordon014 from Vancouver tweets, good to see you back. Should be a great show. Agree with your take on the Commanders. I really think the Commanders got to make this happen. I just feel like a lot is riding on this season, I think, for the Commanders. This, to me, I know that in some ways they're supposed to be a quote-unquote rebuilding team. Rebuilding teams don't sign, like, 35-year-old linebackers like Bobby Wagner. Like, they signed veterans this offseason, which I was kind of – I didn't know what to make of it at first because I felt like they were getting guys who were good players, but I couldn't – some guys, again, like a Bobby Wagner, very good players who would pass his prime. Typically, bad teams spending money in free agency doesn't normally go well, but considering they were just going to be ushering a new rookie quarterback who was absolutely going to start, I kind of got bringing in a lot of vets to help him out. So I was okay with that. I think if you really want to help him out, give him a star like Brandon. Are you a guy that can stretch the field, a guy he's comfortable with? I think the most important years for any quarterback you bring into your organization, particularly a rookie of those first 2 or 3 years, I think it's a make or break. We saw with the Jacksonville Jaguars, it almost broke Trevor Lawrence, putting him with that loser, Urban Meyer. We saw with the Jets with Zach Wilson, putting him behind that offensive line and no receivers. It broke that young kid. So I think Daniels has the goods, but you got to give him a chance. So they've signed some veterans, particularly offensive line, improved the defense that was terrible last year. I say go get Brandon Ayuk and help him out. On Anthony Richardson, comment on YouTube, El Bori Cortez says, I hope AR5 has a great career. I like the kid. He's got a lot of potential and talent. I like him too, and I agree he has a lot of talent and he has potential, but it's like I said before, for him, it's about turning him from a great athlete or a great talent into a great player. And I think some people have not been happy with Tom Brady's commentary, but I think a lot of what he was talking about essentially was that when it came to the fact that rookie quarterbacks are thrust into action before they're ready and that they don't get the same kind of development in college. They don't get the same kind of development in the NFL, so the game's been dumbed down. I think he's 100% right. First of all, he's Tom Brady. Why? Who am I to say Tom Brady doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to football and athletic development? I mean, the fact that everybody's ready to say, oh, what the hell is he talking about? I'm like, I mean, he's Tom Brady. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I agree. I think he's right. So, for this season, I know there are some very lofty expectations for the Colts. I don't think people realize. Maybe because the Colts are kind of an under-the-radar team, especially since Peyton Manning left, especially since Andrew Luck left. But Colts fans, for good reason, are very excited about their team. They have a lot of talent. But I just don't think this is the year for them to be worried about, let's see if we can get 10, 11, 12 games and make a run in the playoffs and surprise people. I think if you do that, fantastic. I'm just saying, please don't go crazy when you see more pick sixes from Anthony Richardson, more inaccurate throws. Like, I think he's going to have to work through some of this stuff because the guy just hasn't played much. Guy started 6 games in high school. I couldn't believe that stat when I saw that last night. I know he had not played that much football, but considering he was like a 5-star recruit, he was highly touted coming out of high school. Of course, he ended up going to Florida. He was one of their biggest recruits they've had in years, especially at the quarterback position. And he basically didn't play high school football. So about 5 starts, 6 starts in high school, 13 starts in college. He barely played last season. You got to give him time. They took a risk on him. You got to invest. You got to invest the time. So again, you can hit me up on Twitter, EJ_Stewart. Also, live in the chat, both Twitch and YouTube. Infinity Sports Network's channels on there. But I want to get to the Steelers here because I think we're in for maybe the dark ages of Pittsburgh Steelers football. And I don't love that. Well, as a Jet fan, I kind of don't mind it. Jets fans, we can't stand the Steelers. They've broken our hearts plenty of times. I'm not going to be shedding tears for the Steelers, but I do feel like people don't like that term, oh, the NFL is better when this team is good or the NBA is better when that team is good. I think it's true. I think that there are definitely colleges when it comes to college football, college basketball, professional teams when it comes to baseball, football, basketball, that the sport is definitely better when they are better. I totally think the Steelers are better. The NFL is better when the Steelers are really good and they're competing. The pageantry of just Heinz Field and the terrible towels, the rough and tumble football that they usually bring to the table. It's a great fan base, great community. I love the way the team really is part of the community there, which has become lost in professional sports. Outside of me being a salty Jets fan, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Steelers as an organization. They're first class. But sometimes things change. I think that that's maybe the theme of this show when I talked about the Niners as well and how I think their reign in the NFC may be coming soon to an end. You can forget about all that winning season record stuff with Mike Tomlin. That's over this year. That's over. So yesterday, as the Steelers enter into their third preseason game, where I will take the leap, maybe others won't, but I will take the leap that because their offenses look so bad for the last 2 weeks in preseason, all the starters are playing the final preseason game. And I know you may say, well, EJ, we just saw the Colts play everybody and some teams are playing guys. Like, what's the big deal playing the third preseason game? Every team is different. I don't think any team has played all the starters all 3 games. I hate preseason football. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm pretty sure everybody at one point said, all right, we'll call the dogs off. You guys got the night off. That's not happening in Pittsburgh. I know Mike Tomlin's old school and maybe say, oh, this Tomlin being old school. He wants to play all. I think that if they scored a touchdown, that some of these guys wouldn't be playing. And now we have a quarterback competition that we thought would have been resolved by now that somehow has not been resolved. You want to talk about national nightmares. That's Perloff with Ayuk. This is Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields is my national nightmare.
It's spicy.
Because I just feel like we're arguing 2 options that we know deep down is just not going to work out for either of these guys and for the Steelers. So it feels like we're kind of wasting our time. But yesterday, as we enter the third preseason game where we're once again going to see the offensive stars, at the very least, all of them play, as Russell Wilson said on Wednesday, Justin Fields, who is still vying for this QB1 spot. Remember, when this whole thing shook out and they acquired Russell Wilson and then they brought in Fields, Tomlin and the team said, Wilson's QB1. Then Wilson gets hurt. He can't play a couple weeks in preseason. We see some highlights of Fields in practice. He looks kind of good, but again, it's practice. We don't know what to make of it. Then Tomlin starts to waver. Oh, well, we don't know. Yes, it's a competition. Now, all right, now we're in a competition. And we still don't have a week one starter. So Justin Fields is asked, hey, what do you think about what you've put on tape, and what do you think about the QB competition?
I think I've shown, you know, what I can do. I think, you know, the time that I did have with the ones practicing in training camp, I think that went well. I think we grew a lot each and every day. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's not up to me. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to come in here every day, each and every day, the same person, being a leader for this team and working my butt off, and everything else will be handled.
You notice when he said that I've shown what I can do, you notice he said in the two practices, 2 weeks of practice when I was the first team QB and Russell Wilson was hurt. He didn't want to mention those preseason games because there was also games he played where we saw the Steelers not be able to get first downs, three and outs, poor snaps, poor quarterback center exchanges, like just slop from the Steelers offense. He didn't mention that when he said what he has shown he can do. He mentioned the practices where while we don't see all the practices again, we have seen some film of him throwing some nice passes and stuff. So I found that quite amusing. But I highlight this sound from Justin Fields because I've said this before and I'll say it again. Neither of these two quarterbacks is going to go quietly. And that's not good because I think the Steelers have a prayer of getting through this season. They're going to play and need both quarterbacks. Both guys have massive limitations. I think Russ physically just isn't the player he used to be. I think when Russ was able to be a true dual threat, that made him dangerous. He's always been a little questionable throwing in between the hashes. Good enough, but not great. But his running ability, his ability to extend plays, I thought made him special. He can't do that anymore. The guy can't move. And we saw how the offensive line, how bad it's looked so far, and how much that's been a struggle for the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of drafting guys, developing guys. And I don't think that's going to get really better over time. And then you got Justin Fields, who is, as he said, he's a leader. I think he's a strong-headed guy. I actually like Justin Fields. I think there's a reason why a lot of his teammates in Chicago like them. But we heard the report from Ty Dunn in the offseason about how when he was the starting quarterback for the Bears, he didn't get along with his QB room. Apparently, he couldn't stand Nick Foles. He wasn't all that cool with Andy Dalton. And the guy who normally sits in this chair, Andrew Perloff, can tell you how great a person Andy Dalton apparently is. Like, everybody seems to like him. I don't know how you have beef with Andy Dalton. But Fields, I think he's a headstrong guy. He's a guy who, this guy's been the number one or two rated quarterback in his class pretty much since, like, eighth grade. It's been him and Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's kind of a prodigy. And when you have that kind of almost, like, childhood celebrity, I think it comes with a level of, it comes with ego. And not necessarily bad ego, but I think it just comes with a level of gravitas, a level of confidence that I think can make it a little stiffy or stuffy in a room with other alphas. And, I mean, is there another bigger alpha than Russell Wilson? And that's his backup. I mean, that's his starter. I'm sorry. That's allegedly his starter. That's the guy who's ahead of him. Like,
here comes the airplane.
I mean, that's the guy that he's got to get along with. He couldn't get along with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. And that was not a QB competition. I'm supposed to expect that for an offense that I think is going to struggle, that I think is going to have problems, and a coaching staff that I think will be very blunt to Mike Tomlin about how bad they are and their struggles and will not make things comfortable if they continue to struggle. I don't feel like this is a very good situation here in Pittsburgh. Because I also just don't, I don't buy that whoever loses this job is just going to be cool with it and they're going to be able to just move forward. You may have to get rid of one of those guys. I think that's a bad decision because I think Russ is an injury risk. And I think Fields, his confidence and accuracy comes and goes. I think it's good to have another option if you need to bench him. So one of these guys may be out of there by the time this QB competition is over. But if they're there, I don't know if Justin Fields doesn't want to wring Russell Wilson's neck by week 5 when he starts hearing those weird Mr. Unlimited and weird cliches.
Unlimited.
He don't want to hear
I'm
that.
Unlimited.
He don't want to hear that in no QB room at 6 a.m. in the morning, 7 a.m. the morning, they're doing meetings. Like, imagine that. And I think Russell Wilson gets a bad rap. I'm just going by the Russell Wilson I've seen and the Justin Fields I've heard about. It just feels like an oil and mix combination. And the fact that one guy is going to be deemed ahead of the other guy, I can't imagine that they're going to be able to get along with that. And it'd be better if one of these guys I thought actually could change the offense and change the life for the Steelers. But I really don't see it. Like, let's really play this out, guys. Steelers offense, one of the worst offenses in the NFL last season. They've been one of the worst offenses for like 5 years. I read the stats a couple earlier in the week. Like, they haven't had a top 20 offense in terms of total yards in like 6 years. They always are terrible on offense. So they bring in new offense coordinator, now Arthur Smith, who, I'll put some respect on his name. He's been a decent offensive coordinator, but he's not a guy who's lighting up the scoreboard or a guy who's racking up yards. He's a 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of offensive coordinator.
He had Derrick Henry, too. So
Generational running back to run this very remedial offense. So, and I know the Steelers got decent running back, but they don't got Derrick Henry. So like, maybe he's okay, maybe he's not. I think there's maybe question marks at least about Arthur Smith. And I don't think that even if he's good, you're going to see a Steelers offense that's lighting up the scoreboard. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback, regardless of who it is. One of them hasn't practiced in 2 weeks until recently and is now trying to get out there after being jettisoned by his old team. The other guy still kind of looks like he might be a project. What scenario do you see here where the Steelers still don't have one of the worst offenses in the NFL? Maybe they get Brandon Ayuk, and maybe that's the thing that puts them over time. Maybe it helps them. But I don't see a realistic scenario where you're talking about a Steelers offense that is transformed, that is way more different than an offense we've seen. Can it be better than Matt Canada? Sure. But I think we're coming into an NFL where I don't think you can keep winning games like 16-13. Like, the defense is good, but I just feel like you look at the rest of the division, it's very clear they're getting lapped now. You look at the Baltimore Ravens, what they're building. They're light years better than the Steelers. Bengals didn't make the playoffs last year. A lot of that had to do with Joe Burrow getting hurt. But you just see the talent they have on offense. Like, I think Steelers fans would dream to have an offense the way the Bengals have. They're lapping the Steelers. And to me, the Browns are almost like a better version of the Steelers. Like, they have a better defense. Their offense is also kind of questionable, and their quarterback is kind of questionable. But I think he's a little better than the guys they have in Pittsburgh. I think the play caller is a lot better than the guys they have in Pittsburgh in terms of Kevin Stefanski versus Arthur Smith. And I also feel like what I saw from the Browns last season, what I actually really was impressed by them, was it was stunning to me just how mentally tough they were and how much they really rallied around like Kevin Stefanski. Like, they were just a tough team. Like, when I think of Kevin Stefanski, I don't think motivator. I don't think, like, leader of men. I think, like, play caller. Like, I think, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? A guy who just calls the plays and probably put you in the best position to win, but I don't think he's motivating anybody. But, like, I watched those press conferences. I watched some of those, like, post-game locker room. Like, I thought he grew and transformed as a head coach last year. And I think the team, I don't know, maybe he kind of, like, molded himself in the image of the team, that they just weren't going to be this, like, high-flying offensive team. They were going to be a kind of a meat-and-potato kind of team. But, like, regardless, like, it worked. And I don't think that's going away. And I think whether it's Deshaun Watson, and then when he gets hurt in Week 5, it's going to be Jameis Winston. I think regardless, still looking at a team that has more talent than the Steelers. And we talk about Mike Tomlin and this streak he's had of going, you know, all these seasons without a losing record. Times is changing, and that's history. They will not have a winning record this season. The division is too tough. There's too much to overcome. And I think while the schedule may not be brutal, I just feel like they're not the kind of team that's going to be able to run away from people. And that, I think, is that's the hardest thing in the NFL, I feel like. Every week we watch these games, and you look at a schedule, a 17-game schedule, 18-week schedule, and you say, okay, W. Like, you just think you can just pencil in wins and Ws. The NFL is so unpredictable. It's why everybody loses money in gambling. It's truly a game of inches. Games that you think will be blowouts end up being three-point wins or field goal games. I feel like the less of those games you can have, the better. Because you're going to have a lot of them. You're probably going to have five or six of them, even if you're a really good team. The less of those you have, the better, because then, you know, you're not the wear and tear, the pressure, all the physical intensity of playing those kind of games. It doesn't wear on you over the course of the season. I think there's a mental fatigue and a physical fatigue that comes with how the Steelers are trying to win games, which is we're not going to be able to blow anybody out because we don't have an explosive offense. We're going to play tough defense, but, like, we're not going to have much of a room for error because our offense may turn the ball over. They may only score 10 points this week. Like, that has worked for the last couple of years, but considering how much better the division has got and considering just where the NFL is going, I don't think you can continue to win like that because you're going to be stuck in 3-point games and 1-point games. And then there are going to be games where or you're even playing against bad teams that you should blow out, but because your offense can't move the ball, now it's the last quarter and it's, you know, 13-10 and they got the ball and all of a sudden a game that should have been a blowout, the team's in it. Like, they're not going to be able to run away from people. They're not going to have easy wins. Bengals are going to blow some teams out. Ravens are going to blow some teams out. Browns will blow some teams out. That's not going to happen with the Steelers. So you're going to have all these close games. You're going to have an offense that I think is, like I said earlier, remedial and not scary. I think this is the year that that streak ends. And I think it kind of just, to me, it's just going to kind of crescendo in a way that's going to make it clear that both Tomlin and Steelers made a mistake coming back together. I really felt like this was the offseason for them to part ways. I think Tomlin is a great football coach. I think on another team with a new system, new offensive coordinator, that's not a guy maybe he chooses even, I feel like he could have went somewhere and turned them into a winner immediately. I just feel like sometimes you're in a relationship and it's comfortable, so you stay in it, but you really know it's not going nowhere. Like, you ain't getting no wedding ring. Like, you're never really moving in. But you're just kind of just biding the time because it's better than the alternative, I guess, for the Steelers, is not knowing who your coach is for the first time in 50 years. For Mike Tomlin, it's the unknown of a new organization. But I don't feel good about where the Steelers are. I don't know where you feel, what you feel about the Steelers. Are the Steelers doomed? I kind of feel like they are. I think they're in no man's land. I think that they don't have a chance in this division. I don't think they have a chance to really crack that upper echelon of the AFC. And that's the standard. You know, Mike Tomlin always yells, well, the standard is the standard. He's got to stop saying that because he keeps talking about the standard. The standard for the Steelers is championships. Like, they have, what, 6 Super Bowls, I believe? Like, that's the standard. The standard is not 9 wins. So the standard, they have not met for a long time. They have not been a credible threat for a Super Bowl in forever. So to me, I look at a team that's stuck in the middle. They're in no man's land. They're in limbo. That's the worst place you want to be. If you're going to be bad, you want to be 3-14 bad. You want to be able to get a number one pick, get a young, hot quarterback, get a new coach who's innovative, and you could tear the whole thing down and build it back up. Or if you're good, you want to be a team that can compete for a championship. You do not want to be where good enough to maybe win 8 games or 9 games and get into the playoffs and lose in the first round. That's not what you want to keep, not every year. It'd be different if we were seeing some progress in Pittsburgh over the last 2 or 3 years. We have not seen that. So I feel like the Steelers are in a bad situation. I think they're in bad shape. I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Also, hit me up on X/Twitter, EJ_Stewart. It's been a fun show so far. First time back in the studio since I got injured. For those who listen to this show regularly, you probably already know, but ruptured my patellar tendon playing kickball with Maggie Perloff and Zach Gelb. Still unbelievable to say. When I say those words, the look I get from people, I wouldn't wish on anybody. So I'll give you guys a little mini health update on how I'm doing and when I'll be back fully in a little bit. It's EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff. We'll be right back. Represent. What's up? It's EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff. Number to call in, 855-212-4227. You can also hit me up on Twitter/X. EJ_Stewart. I have a tweet here from Senor Pantleg. Interesting name. He says, Pittsburgh fan deserves a taste of humility. They've had it too good for too long. Is Senor Pantleg one of the Jet fans I was talking about that is happy to see the Steelers kind of spinning their wheels here? He might be. Because I said earlier, like, I kind of feel I don't feel bad for the Steelers just because, as a Jet fan, seeing their success, and whenever the Jets had success, somehow they ran into the Steeler machine and lost. Seeing them be this kind of middling, going nowhere team doesn't necessarily bring me sadness, but I think the Steeler nation, the Pittsburgh community, and how the Steelers in the community rally around each other, I think is great for the NFL. I think it's always a great visual seeing those like December big, you know, games in Heinz Field with the terrible tiles going, or playoff games. I think it's just an or seeing, you know, the Steeler nation just take over all the stadiums in playoffs. I think it's all great. Like, that's a great part of the NFL. It's one of the reasons why the NFL is great. But Jets fans may not feel, or other teams who have been burned, and certainly those AFC North teams. I know Bengals fans, Browns fans, Ravens fans, definitely not shedding a tear for where the Steelers are right now. But I just look at them. I don't see a team that's going anywhere. How do you look at that division and say, oh yeah, no, Steelers definitely still near the top, still holding serve with the likes of Lamar Jackson. Like, think the star power. And I know they have stars on defense, but the star power on these other teams. We're talking about Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Myles Garrett, Ja'Marr Chase. We're talking about just studs. And they got T.J. Watt, and they got Cam Hayward, a little older. Minkah Fitzpatrick's good, but like they're clearly not good enough.
The only thing you can say is that they have magic, and Mike Tomlin will find a way. It just happens every year.
But I'll be honest though, Ryan. Like, even if they find a way, finding a way is still 9 games. Is that finding a way for the Steelers used to be 11, 12 games and making the playoffs, or sometimes maybe winning 9 or 10 games, but still going to the Super Bowl like they did when Jerome Bettis and them got their, you know, got him his only Super Bowl, and they got one for the thumb. Like, that used to be Steelers finding a way. Steelers finding a way used to be, when you think the chips are down, they still find a way to go to the Super Bowl, win championships. Now, them finding a way is like Mason Rudolph taking them to the playoffs and losing in the first round and not being competitive at all.
I just think their floor compared to last season is a lot higher with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Anything is better than Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett.
I totally agree with that, because I famously on this show said that Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett was like comparing, you know, week old lasagna and a McRib, and which one you wanted for dinner. So, I mean, yes, this is definitely better. But I think now we're probably talking with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They're probably talking about a Celeste pizza and like a, you know, like a $10 steak from Sizzler, something like that. Like it's better, but you're not eating good. Let's put it that way. So I think that's just the problem with the Steelers. I can't see them completely. Like, there was a chance last year, given how their quarterback situation, they won 9 games. They probably should have won 5. Let's be real. They probably should have won 5.
That's when you have a defensive player of the year, though.
Right. You got Watt. You have a great defense. Like, that gets you to 9. And then Tomlin and just, like, they fired Canada. Like, they did things to get them to 9. They probably, like, 5 is probably not they're probably not that, because they'll find some wins. But, like, so maybe the floor is 7. But I think the ceiling is 9. And that feels like a best-case scenario to me. I don't see a scenario where they're winning 10, 11 games. And if you're talking about your ceiling is 9 games, not saying everything goes right. Well, what could go wrong? In a QB room with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I'm telling you, a lot can go wrong. And a lot probably will go wrong. Also, we got the legendary Moist Pork reaching out on social media, Twitter/X. E.J. Stewart, as a Browns fan, he's saying he's a Browns fan, not me. As a Browns fan, I relish a Steelers dark ages. It's about time another team in that division has misery. Yeah, well, the rent is certainly due on that, Moist. Because how long has it been your team that's been the team that's been the misery team in the NFC North? Or AFC North. I keep mixing up these conferences today. The AFC North. It's been the Browns. They've almost always been the team. At least especially in this new modernized divisional setup. They've been the team that struggled. And I do think that the Steelers are shaping up to maybe be that bottom feeder, which is not great for the NFL. It's really not great for Steeler Nation. But I know there are Steeler fans who probably be like, no, EJ, Steelers? Mike Tomlin? What we have, like the first-class organization we have, we're going to find a way. And I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Great Peter Schwartz is with us now with updates. Peter, what's happening?
EJ will start in New York this hour, and you know who did it again.
The pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Deep down the right field line. Brennan's only going to watch. It is gone. Onto the porch. Aaron Judge. He strikes again as he turns up the slug in the fourth. Home run number 48. 1-0 Yankees.
Justin Shackle, Yankees radio. The Yankees were off and running. They beat the Guardians 6-0, and the Orioles lost to the Astros 6-0. So the Yankees now lead the Orioles by a game and a half in the AL East. Now to Pittsburgh, where Paul Skeens was dealing.
Here's an 0-2. Swing and a miss. Another strikeout. 9 strikeouts for Skeens.
Yeah, only twice has he failed to strike out at least one per inning in a start. He's a strikeout pitcher. He's racking them up here tonight.
Call on Pirates Radio. Pirates win. They set the 7-0. Paul Skeens tossing 6 scoreless innings, giving up 2 hits while striking out 9. After that little slump he was in, he's back on track.
It's good. You want to talk about things good for baseball. It's all about things good for the NFL and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Pirates and Skeens continuing to still, like him being still the star that he was first half of the season, that needs to continue. So it's good to see him back on track.
Absolutely. Pirates over the Reds 7-0. Now to St. Louis.
Arenado's on his own. The 0-2 pitch is lined into left field for a hit. He drives in the third Cardinal run. And Arenado fist pumps over at first base. He's feeling it. And the Cardinals feeling it here in the seventh. A 3-run inning that scores Burleson. And RBI number 60 for Nolan Arenado.
Ricky Horton on Cardinals Radio. Cardinals over the Brewers 3-0. Other games yesterday, Mets beat the Padres 8-3. The Braves over the Phillies 3-2. You had the Blue Jays over the Angels 5-3. Miguel Amaya had a grand slam in the Cubs 10-2 win over the Tigers. The Mariners fired Scott Service, replaced him with Dan Wilson. Wilson had been the Mariners coordinator in their minor league system. He's a longtime catcher for the Mariners. Seattle was up by 10 games in the AL West June 18th, but now 20-23. Time for a change in Seattle.
Are the Mariners cursed? I feel like we talk about some of these other teams. We talk about the Jets. We talk about the kind of the usual suspects, the Browns, in all professional sports. I feel like for some reason we don't talk about the fact that the Mariners, I mean, one playoff appearance in 21, 22 years. No World Series rings, and it feels like here, like where you had a season where it looked like the Astros were just buried. I mean, early in the season, it looked like the Astros were not going to be a playoff team this year, definitely not a division winner. And you blow this lead, and now you're kind of it's not out of it, but I can't see the Mariners making this ground up, especially with the way they're hitting.
No, and by the way, I can't believe I have brought myself down to the level of having to root for the Astros this weekend.
Whoa, what?
Ryan didn't like to hear that.
What?
They're playing the Orioles.
Yeah, but still, one series is not going to kill you.
I want to win the East. Take care of business first. Let's get through the weekend. Let's get at least a 3-game lead on the Orioles. I have to root for the Astros this week.
I think Peter Schwartz is right. I think
what?
I'm sorry. I know I'm not.
I don't usually hear that.
I tell you what. I normally don't.
Especially
have...
at home from my wife.
same here. Trust me. I will say this, like. I have no personal stakes in the Yankees Astros beef, but I do feel like when it comes to any kind of playoff positioning, if it helps your team's playoff positioning, you have to put all beefs aside, including with the Astros. I'm sorry.
No.
He's right.
No.
Like you got to root for the Astros to beat the Orioles.
If you do your job, you will succeed.
No, if you do your job, all you will do if the Orioles hold their own, it just hold serve. Nothing changes.
That works. You're still in first place.
No, you prefer.
Yeah, but you're not going to win every single game the rest of the season. You're going to have to get some help here.
You always got to prefer.
But not from the Astros.
That you gain games. So you would rather.
I'd rather win myself as a sweep a team and have my arch rival, your nemesis, who you despise, who you can't beat in the playoffs, proceed to lose.
But Ryan, that's not the point now. The point now is to beat, get back what the Orioles took from us last year, and that's the AL East. So we need to knock them out. My wife and my kids are Met fans. I'm the only Yankee fan in the house. I took my son to the Met. We went to both games on Wednesday.
Yep.
I cheered like a Met fan. When Jesse Winker hit that home run.
You have to.
Like, I literally blended in with everybody cheering for the Mets, which is not usually my cup of tea, but you got to do what you got to do.
Look, Yankees had that big series in Philly a month ago. Like, they had those big wins. Like, yeah, as a Mets fan, I'm one of those Mets fans that I do feel like the Yankees are a rival. I think that if you're a Mets fan that's saying that they're not, you're lying. You're absolutely lying. So I treat the Yankees as a rival. They're playing the Phillies. You're trying to gain ground in NL East at that time, maybe starting to look a little like maybe the Mets could do something. Absolutely. Please beat the Phillies in heartbreaking fashion. You have to put all that aside.
I said the same thing to my family, what they said to me after that Yankee-Philly series this week. I said, thank you.
There you go.
That's it. The Dodgers designated Jason Hayward for assignment. NFL preseason, you had the Bears over the Chiefs 34-21. The Colts over the Bengals 27-14. Now, this story from Las Vegas yesterday, EJ, everybody's got their expectations on their favorite teams, right? Doesn't matter how old you are. Could be adults like us, kids, whatever. So Nick Walters, KTNV, the ABC affiliate in Vegas, was talking to fans at a Raiders game, came across a 10-year-old Raiders fan about the expectations for this season.
You're so into the NFL. You know your Raiders. I can tell right here. How are you feeling with the team this year?
We're not going to the Super Bowl. I already know it.
We got a realistic Raiders fan here. This is odd. This is the first interview I've ever had like this. The Super Bowl chances are not good, but what is it going to take for the Raiders to have a successful season, you think?
Not to get arrested.
Okay, that's definitely an interesting one. I would agree with that. Yeah, getting someone in prison, that's going to hurt the chances.
Where's the lie? Let's be real.
EJ, if you asked my kids, what would it take for the Jets to have a successful season? I mean, the right answer would be for Aaron Rodgers to stay healthy, right? Sure. That's number one. So this young man with... It's being honest, like not get arrested.
Let's be real. Again, there's no lies here. This is an organization that has unfortunately had key players get arrested during the season. An organization that nobody thinks is going to the Super Bowl. Sounds like a very realistic kid. I like this kid. I like this sports fan. I think we need more sports fans like this. We can't.
Sad?
Not sad.
Realistic.
Realistic, right?
Knowledgeable,
right.
Realistic.
Because we have too many fans, and look, as someone who works in sports radio, all three of us do, we hear from very unrealistic people. I'm sure I'm going to get a call about how the Panthers are going to make the playoffs this year.
I'd rather be delusional than depressed.
I don't think he's depressed. I watched the video. I think he's like as a young man, he knows he has a lot of years left, because this kid must have been like 9 years old.
He's 10.
He's 10? 10 years old. I think he's like, look, I got a lot of years left. I'm in this for the long haul. I can't be wrapped up in we winning a Super Bowl this year.
He's a kid. He's
right.
A kid.
That's why he has to. This is the time to be like, I got time here. We're not good. Let's just not get arrested. Let's just not embarrass the organization, which we've done too many times. Let's just get through this season and we'll see what happens next year. I'm totally fine with this. This was the kind of fan we need. The fact that this gives me hope for the youth that we're moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. We have young kids like this.
Outstanding. Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz and assistant John Budmeier suspended for the Hawkeye season opener as part of a school-imposed penalty for a recruiting violation in late 2022. Probably shouldn't matter. They're probably playing some tomato can team in the first game of the season anyway.
I will say this. Regardless of whether Kirk Ferentz is there or not, they're probably not scoring more than 20 points. So I'm not sure how much will really change whether Kirk Ferentz is on the sidelines or not. I did appreciate his apology, though. Rare you get an apology when it comes to violations.
And Keegan Bradley has the lead after two rounds of the BMW Championship. There you go.
Thanks so much, Peter Schwartz. Coming up, it's time to end the charade, NFL. You know what I'm talking about. It's DJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff. We'll be right back. Actually, don't bring them out. Keep them away. Keep them back at their facilities. Keep them back in the locker room. It's time to end the charade of preseason football. What's up? It's EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff here. Number to call in 855-212-4227. As I was getting ready for this show, you know, you start to think, you know, it's always weird when you're hosting a show. This is a weird time for you to host a show because, like, we're a couple of weeks away from the start of the season, NFL-wise. And I'll say college football-wise because week zero sucks. But you're a couple of weeks away And, you know, it's a drive-by, and then, you know, who knows when you'll be hosting again. So sometimes you're like, all right, what do I do? Am I giving NFL season predictions, or do I just hold that, or, you know, whatever? What do you do? Like, you know, it's such a weird time with the preseason. And I'm sitting there, and what I'm about to tell you guys is a thing that I got yelled at about this so much. I think last year, 2 years ago, I tweeted this out. I had NFL agents tweet at me being like, you're an idiot. So I preface that by saying, please don't get mad at me when I say this. But preseason football needs to be abolished. Done. Kaput. Finished. Get rid of it. We have moved past the need for preseason football. And I know we all love football. I know we're addicted to this sport. It has some flaws. It's violent. There's a lot of unscrupulous gambling that goes involved. It's not pretty, some of it, but you know what? There's a lot of beauty in the game, and it's America's pastime at this point. It's definitely not baseball for sure. But preseason football is not those things. Preseason football is not beautiful. Preseason football is not America's pastime. Preseason football is not any of the things we love about real football. And what I hate about this time of the year, because it's one of my least favorite times of the sports calendar, is it's the ultimate tease of football is back. And you heard that probably until your ears bled a couple weeks ago when the first preseason game started. It was like, football is back, everybody. Hey, football is back. Oh, look, we got football. Hey, get ready, guys. It's football. Football is not back, okay? Watching Sam Ehlinger run around for his life for three quarters is not NFL football. Watching Joe Milton miss targets left and right is not NFL football. And what I think bothers me so much about preseason is the entertainment value is so bad and it's so poor that it's a disgrace and it's a disservice to what NFL football actually is. And I think we've moved to a point now where there was a time when I grew up where preseason football wasn't great, but teams took it seriously. Like, usually you had four preseason games back in the day. Starters played three of them. Usually you had first game, maybe they play a series. Second game, maybe they play a quarter. Third preseason game, you were seeing a half, sometimes three quarters from your first team offense or first team defense. You got a semblance of some decent football. Like, you started to see teams, start to see what they were doing. You got to see stars play. It wasn't the greatest in terms of, you know, the aesthetic because you were seeing teams hiding stuff, but it was still fun to watch. There's nothing fun about watching Joe Burrow with his frosted tips on the sideline talking about when he's going to get a haircut or not, okay? And I appreciated, you know, last night for the Colts, I appreciated them having Anthony Richardson out there for a little bit because it was a little entertaining to watch the stars go out there and play. But that's so few and far between. There are teams who are never going to play their stars in this preseason. The Jets are not playing anybody. They have decided no starter has played this entire preseason. They won't when they play the Giants this weekend. And they're not the only team. There are a lot of teams who are doing that same thing. We've just moved past the need for preseason football. NFL teams have now taken the joint practices as their preseason games. The starters are getting 20, 30, 40 reps against another first team. In fact, if I was the NFL, I'd abolish preseason and just televise the joint practices. College football does it. We see spring football. People love it. People watch. People go to the games. Why can't we do that for the NFL? Abolish preseason.